Welcome to another episode of Fit to Teach, where every Friday we provide evidence-based health and wellness information to support teachers and school employees on their wellness journey. My name is Nathan Marshall, and I'm a senior health and human performance student at Eastern Oregon University. I am joined by a fellow Leap Lab intern, Edgar Romero. What's up, Edgar?
What's up, Nathan?
Today, we are going to talk about recovery. So each week we try and go into a new health and wellness topic. A lot of them are building on each other, and we're starting to create this story of, trying to help you guys go on your start or continue your health and wellness journey. And recovery is a super important part of that. We want to have Edgar on this week because Edgar is still training pretty heavily, still playing a lot of soccer, and he's always been a huge proponent of the whole recovery piece. And it's something that I feel that he knows a lot about. So we just want to talk about some recovery techniques, talk about sleep, talk about nutrition a little bit, and just, yeah, go into the basics.
Do it.
So first things first, what's kind of your recovery routine? What aspects of recovery do you prioritize the most?
I think for me, so the biggest things that I prioritize is for sure my sleep, my nutrition, specifically, like, I guess, day before, day after a competition. I mean, now I'm not really playing anymore. We're just in our spring season, but I think that's the biggest components. And then on top of that, you know, we add on like foam rolling, all the, I guess, like outside stuff that you can do. But the biggest things that I focus on is my sleep and my nutrition.
Okay. Yeah. So again, both things that we've talked about, we did an episode on sleep hygiene. So if you missed that, go back and listen to that. That one is super helpful about, you know, just making sure you get enough sleep, and then nutrition. So last week we talked about nutrient timing a little bit, which was super useful, and like timing meals so that you can optimize your workout, whatever that may be. So for you, what is that like specifically? Like, say you just got back from an hour and a half session, whether that be in the gym or on the field, what's that first meal looking like?
So the first thing, I think it's something that I learned from Kyle. Just, the man lives by it. It's that recovery shake immediately after. So right when I get back, whether it's home or wherever, if we're staying somewhere or something, I try to get in the recovery shake. That's carbs, protein, clean protein. I just try to get that down as quick as I can. And then after that, you know, whether we have a meal with a team or whether I'm cooking at home, something that kind of curates the recovery shake. So maybe like rice, just re-upping those carbs. So like maybe like rice and chicken or something like that, something that I know my body will react in a good way after that hard workout.
For sure. And I think there's like a couple things here. Like Edgar always, like, he likes the shakes, and like, I do a little bit, but I also like to, I just like to eat after. It doesn't have to. So the point is like, yeah, Kyle is a huge proponent of the recovery drink, but that can also be a recovery meal, right? So just a well-balanced meal. Edgar talked about it, you know, sometimes we eat the team. Usually it's like chicken, rice, vegetables, making sure you're kind of covering all your bases. You're getting your protein, you're getting your carbs. It doesn't have to be, you know, like a bodybuilder, like, oh, two scoops of whey and milk. No. You know, like it can be kind of however you want, right? Just making sure you're getting your protein and carbs. And you brought up foam rolling, and that's something I want to talk about too. So like, there's a lot of like technology now that can help with recovery, and like it can be kind of expensive. Foam rollers are cheap, yeah. You know, they're super useful. So we use foam rollers a lot playing soccer. So from what you know, you want to talk about like foam rolling, massage guns. What do we think?
So I think it's a pretty helpful, I guess, like a supplemental recovery method.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said, I think the biggest for me is that sleep and nutrition, but sometimes, right, you can't really control for that. You immediately have to play a game, or you immediately have to try to recover. So for us, I think like foam rolling was the biggest thing this past season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just loosens up a bit. You feel tight, you feel kind of like not so limber, and you foam roll, and I think it just gets the blood moving, really those tight places kind of loosens them out and gets you ready for the session or after.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of how I saw it.
Yeah. And so for those of you who don't know, foam rolling, just you got a kind of a foam, I don't know, just like a circular yeah. piece of foam. And then you can kind of put pressure on various muscles and just kind of roll them out. There's foam rollers on Amazon for like $5 or $10. I know Edgar and I both have one. They're really cheap. And then there's also for the to get started, there's a lot of good YouTube videos. Like we always do that, like 10, 15 minute rolling. There's also good YouTubers who pair them with yoga. So it could be a 10 minute cool down, 5 minute roll. So for those of you who are like wanting to get started and massage guns, massages, all these kind of extra things are very expensive. Foam rolling is something that like I know I use, you use. I know Kyle talks about it too. It's just a really good way to kind of loosen up those muscles and something that you could do in addition to stretching. I want to talk about too. So we talked a lot of, in my running class, we talked a lot about stretching and warm up. And I think warm up is important to talk about because warm up is important to recovery. But for your workout, warm ups are very important. Especially for endurance-based sports, soccer, we always have like a 10 to 15 minute warm up. And the biggest thing here is just dynamic movements, right? So dynamic stretches. Again, if that doesn't mean anything to you, you can easily look up a 5 minute warm up, right, online. They're on Instagram, they're on Facebook, whatever platform you have. And then also the cool down. So cool down is going to be more static. Usually you're standing still doing those stretches. I know you walk, we have a partner stretch that we do. So if you are with a buddy, it's always nice to have them kind of stretch you out. It can be just, 5, 10 minutes of that. Yeah. So do you stretch a lot on your own?
I try to, yeah. I mean, now that I'm not like in season and stuff, I maybe don't do it as often. But I think it's super important. It could be a good way to start the day or a good way to end the night. If you're feeling tight or feeling like, oh, this workout was a little hard. But yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, warm-ups and cool downs are really important. Like it helps minimize the risk of injury. And I think it just like jump starts that recovery for your next session.
For sure. For sure.
I mean, like you explained, the warm-ups are more and more dynamic. So in our sport, let's say like soccer and endurance based, it's really good to do the dynamic stuff because it simulates what you're kind of already going to be doing in your session, just at a lower intensity, right? So it's not too aggravating towards your muscles or too like hard on it, but it warms you up just for whatever you're going to do. And then in the cool down, it's static. Really focusing on like the small muscle groups that you don't really do, and then a bigger warm up. So,
Yeah. And one thing that I've started to work on too is like I've heard it's really bad. Like I went on a run the other day and I really kind of pushed myself and the first thing I did was just sit on the couch. And I was like, like obviously like I want to cool down, but I was just so tired. It was hot out. I just wasn't feeling the stretch. And so I didn't cool down. And then like I noticed when I don't do that over an accumulation of days. Again, I'm still young. We're both still young. So these are things we're still learning and experimenting with on ourselves. But I just got so stiff the next couple of days, right? So like and I know it was because of the cool down, because usually if I do cool down, I won't get like that. So my point is like if even if you do have a hard workout, try and save some energy or allow some time after to like prioritize a cool down. Because I know warm-ups are very important, obviously, but the cool down in terms of recovery is super important as well. And it's something that you should definitely factor into the workout, whether that be, the time, making sure you prioritize it for time, making sure you save some energy, and just plan accordingly because those are super important. So we talked about foam rolling. We're kind of switching around a little bit, but so massage guns, those are kind of cool. I got one for my birthday. I think 2 years ago when I, and which was super useful through my college career. I know we have them in trainers. So when I say massage guns, I'm just referring to those little kind of, I mean, they look like a gun, but they usually have like a ball at the end of them or like a prod kind of things. You can get, again, get them off Amazon. They're usually like 40, 50 bucks, but it allows you to kind of target like specific areas of the muscle that may, you may be dealing with soreness. You can often change the speed, change the attachment so that there's different kind of ways of getting digging into the muscle. I think it's useful. I think foam rolling is, you could totally get away with foam rolling, but it seems like the massage guns are a good way to like target a specific area that you might be, might be haggling you a little bit.
See, like I honestly I've never really used like a massage gun until college. I guess since we have it here, the trainers and stuff. But I mean it's been super useful. Especially for the small nagging things. You don't really pay attention to them, but you really can't hit them off of a foam roll. I guess it's a really nice supplemental tool. I think for me it's really beneficial to pair it with foam rolling. Because if I just do like massage gunning, like I feel like, okay, I just got little spots. I didn't get any major muscles. Or I just spend like a lot of time just massage gun when I could have just foam rolled the major muscles, then hit the small ones with the m massage gun. So, yeah.
For sure. And then on the other end, so again, both those are very fairly cheap options. Massage guns are super good for targeting a specific area they might be struggling with. Foam rolls are super easy, cheap, they're portable, all those good stuff. Normatec boots.
Ooh.
Yeah, so we're getting into a little bit of the bougie stuff here. But so we have at school, we have access to inflatable boots. There's like space boots. And essentially what you do is you put your legs in them and they squeeze your legs. And I don't know, how do you like describe it? I don't know. What's the kind of the science behind it?
So yeah, basically it's yeah, they're boots, they're zip-on boots that go up to your basically your waist. And it just fills with air, compressed, basically like compression boots, over time. So they'll compress, they'll get really tight, and then it'll let out a little bit of air, right? Letting blood flow back into those areas that it was restricting. And it's just a constant cycle of that, whether it's 10, 15, 20 minutes, you could set it to whatever you want. But yeah, it basically restricts, stops blood flow, and then air goes out, and then it just, blood starts flowing again into those areas that it restricted to. So,
Yeah, promoting recovery.
yeah.
And the science shows they work.
Yeah. Yeah.
The research shows they work. They're very expensive, but I wanted to bring it up just because I know we have some, high performing athletes listening to this podcast. For those, who emphasize endurance sports, who run a lot, who are going to be lifetime runners. Those of you who are starting to become lifetime runners and you do have some money that you would like to spend on this, they are, I think they're under a grand, but they are fairly expensive.
Yeah.
They do work. And I just want to throw it out there again. You don't need them to be successful. I do them every once in a while just
Yeah.
because we have access to them. But again, I run a lot and I've never relied on them. It's not like they're going to be a total game changer. They're just a good tool to throw out there. And then the next thing, so I want to talk about load and recovery. So what does Kyle always say about ice baths and saunas?
You got to treat them if it's like its own session. You can't just be like, oh, at the end of the session I'm gonna ice bath. No, you gotta really implement it into your training structure, because is it like a load, right? It is a training kind of specific. It is trying to train specific, because you gotta factor it in. Like the 5 minutes of ice bath, it's it has the same, I guess, the same near same like physiological responses as if you're working out and stuff. So it is pretty heavy on the body as well.
Yeah. So I guess with this, like a lot of people think that like sauning after a gym session or ice bathing after a long run, which again can be good things, but they think of them as recovery when in reality you're adding more strain to your body. So the biggest thing for me with this is just like keeping tabs of like what you're doing, right? Like if you think a lot of people think like, okay, if I'm going to sauna every day, 5 days a week, that's going to help my recovery. Like that might be good for you in a sense of like you're adding more load, but it's load. It's not recovery, right? And ice baths the same thing. We talk about ice baths a little bit in 333. That's our environmental physiology class. I think they're kind of starting to get debunked. I think I don't know for sure, so I'm not going to say anything I don't know, but I think there can be some benefits, but it seems like they are kind of debunking it a little bit and that it's not quite as good for recovery as originally thought. Right? Is that kind of what you got from it too?
That's kind of what I've gotten. Like I've read a couple articles and stuff. And that's what I've gotten from it too. Specifically in those, like let's say we're like an ice bath situation. So those who spend like rigorous amount of times, like really long time in it, it's more strenuous on the body than it is helpful. What I've seen in the article, what I've read in the articles, so.
And I think too, and like I think part of, this is just what I think in general, but like it feels good in the moment because you're numbing your the pain, whatever pain you may have, but it does tighten up your muscles, make you stiffer, can, lead to injury, those kind of things. So just important things to consider. If you're more interested in that, there's a lot of good publications on that online. Google Scholar is a great way to look into that stuff. PubMed, all those journals, they have all that stuff on ice baths. So if you are curious about that, something you do frequently, could be good thing to look into just for sure, just to see what works for you. So I don't super good on recovery. Do you have any, what other things do you think about recovery?
So I keep it in the situation like ice bath. So this past season I've gotten into contrast bathing. So a mixture of whether it's so cold tub and then hot water. So you would go, I guess what works for me is I'd go around, I think it was like 2 to 3 minutes in the cold tub, and then I do 5 in the hot water. And I do 2 to 3 rounds of that. Ending it with the hot tub. And I think it's worked really great for me. It's not too strenuous on my body, right? It's so it tightens up my muscles when I go in the cold bath, and it kind of loosens it up when I get into the hot side. And I think it's worked very well for me. But I'm also not doing this like every single
Yeah,
night,
for
right?
sure,
Like
for sure.
I'd say like so if we had like a match on Saturday, I would usually do this around Wednesday or Thursday. So I allow like a whole day Friday to my body recover, just so it's not like I'm have crazy like load on my body right before a match. But that's what worked for me. So it's one of those things where you kind of have to figure it out. And I kind of just figured that out, to be honest. Like I was like, okay, so I tend to ice bath. I like ice bathing, but I don't do it for like more than like 7 minutes. And like not harping on any like the sports teams here, like, but we would like make our like it's in the soccer team, we'd make players, get into the ice bath for a certain amount of time, whether we were on like away trips and stuff. And I would just always kind of do my own thing because I knew what worked for me. So you kind of have to figure out what works for you. And that's how I kind of figured out like, hey, contrast bathing makes me feel a little more better than it does just regular ice baths.
Yeah, and again, right? We've talked a lot about individual response, and Edgar knows this too, right? Like Edgar's young, he's fit, he can kind of experiment, these kind of things. What worked for him might not work for me, right? And I don't know. And that's one of those things where you just kind of have to try it, and if it doesn't work for you, you can stop, and change it up a little bit. Like I know for me, like I started saunaing a lot recently because we just got some in the lab, infrared saunas, and I do 20 minutes, but for me, it feels like I just ran like a whole bunch. Like for me, being in the sauna is hard, and I've always kind of had a I always react pretty strongly to heat. I don't really fare well in the heat. I know that it affects me a lot. So, prior to, learning about heat and stuff, I kind of thought that saunas were recovery, and I was just like, oh, like it doesn't feel like recovery, but it is. And when in reality, like I was really just kind of putting myself through the ringer. And that's just kind of how
For
it is.
sure.
And some people are great in the heat. Some people do for some people can just sit in a sauna for forever and it feels like recovery. But I guess the main thing we're trying to get at here is like with saunas and ice baths and all these kind of things that are kind of imposed, it's like just do what fe you feel works for you. The best way to do it is just kind of trial and error and just keep going, keep practicing. Not practicing, but like keep doing it to see. And yeah. And then I also want to talk about one thing too. And we have access to trainers here, and we have a lot of resources, which is great. And we have access to a physical therapist, we have access to a chiropractor. And I know for people who are starting exercise, injuries and nagging things can be, they can start up, right? And they flare up, and they happen. Me and Edgar still happen all the time. And we prioritize recovery. It's just kind of one of those things that comes with exercise, which is part of the reason why it's so daunting. But I want to just bring up the idea of with recovery. And again, we talked about like massages and stuff like that. But I don't know. Did you have anyone like growing up that was like super useful in like your recovery process? Like I had a really good chiropractor that just, and she just like could do everything, right? Like I would go to her for everything, ankle sprain. And again, right? It's not something that you think of for a chiropractor, but she knew me really well. She knew my body really well. She knew how hard I pushed myself, and she was just super useful. So did you have anyone like that?
Yeah, I did. So, growing up, I had a club coach for soccer, and he was a physical therapist on the side. So his little side hustle was being a club coach. And it was like the best thing because any little problem that me or my teammates would have, you just immediately go to him. And it's such an amazing resource to have because they grow up with you in a sense, right? Like you're growing up, they see all the changes, they see everything. So, like as you said, like they know your body, they understand what works for you, what doesn't. So let's say like, yeah, like an ankle sprain. Okay, yeah, we know we have to like sit you out for a little bit and then slowly start getting you back in like It's such an amazing resource. And if, let's say, maybe you have a friend or someone that you know that has that type of expertise, it's really good to have that in your corner.
Yeah. And you know, those things are expensive too. And that is definitely something to acknowledge. But again, a lot of people think like going to a chiropractor or going to a physical therapist or going to a trainer, like those things have to be done after you're already hurt, but there can be super good for maintenance too. Like I always went to my chiropractor, you know, even when I wasn't hurt. It was just, you know, I'm putting a lot of load on my body. You know, I'm growing out. Yeah. At that point I was still growing. Right. And you're going through high school, your stress, your sleep. There's a lot of stuff going on, you know, physiologically, right, that you have to adjust for. And it's just nice to kind of have someone that can kind of work with you, and work with your body. And again, you know, I'm going into PT, you know, Edgar's going into getting a higher education, you know, getting more stuff and learning more about this. And so just like the biggest thing we've learned too is like these health professionals, not again, not doctors necessarily, but like people, physical therapists, massage therapists, whatever, they want to help you before you get hurt, right? And they're super helpful after, but also before. So again, I know LeGrand has some, you know, resources here if you're based in LeGrand, but those things are important to consider too. And as you get kind of in your journey, if you're starting to run more, starting to lift more, it could be worth, you know, investigating to see if there is I don't know, a therapist, not therapist, but like and someone
Someone
in
to
that
talk to.
realm who can help you out, help your body out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so that's kind of, I think, what we got for recovery. Is there anything else that you want to touch on before we head out?
Well, you kind of brought up maintenance.
Yeah.
So I think for me, maintenance is super important, right? You can't always just be on go mode the entire time. Right. So let's say like in a scenario where you have like a marathon. Your final goal is a marathon, right? And you have 6 months to prepare. You can't just be on go mode all 6 months. Like
Yeah, for sure.
that's impossible. I guess when it comes to maintenance, is you got to really like listen to your body in a sense. Okay, am I doing the right stuff that makes me feel good, optimizes my performance? Do I need to tone it down? Do I need to up the intensity, lower the intensity, the volume? Is it too high? Is it too low? And this is something we're talking about in exercise programming. So it's one of the biggest things that you kind of have to factor in that a lot of people don't, is you can't be on go mode all the time.
Yeah. And when, okay, so and to define it, so when you say go mode, you mean pushing yourself hard.
Yeah, like pushing
Yeah.
yourself, like I guess to 100% every single
Exactly.
time. Like,
Exactly.
yeah, like I think that's the biggest, one of the biggest like things that imposes injury on people is
Yeah.
that
And I guess too,
pushing.
and to put it simply, like it when you have a long-term goal, like a marathon, right? Like part of it, I don't want to say it like this, but part of it too is like sometimes you just don't want to like push yourself too hard and you don't want to get hurt and you just got to kind of maintain what you got, right? Like the point is to like it should be a stair step. It's like, and when we say maintenance, we kind of mean just we literally mean maintaining what you already have, right? So for when we're going through season, we say maintenance in the sense of like, okay, we've been training really hard, we pushed ourselves through preseason, now the goal is to purely just last, we just want to be able to play the whole season.
The full season,
That becomes the goal, right? Obviously you want to win things with that, but from an individual standpoint and like a physiological standpoint, like your goal switches to be like, okay, I got better, I adapted, I feel good, I'm playing well. Now the point is to just sustain that. And that's a team sport, right? But for marathon training, like for me, like right now, I'm still planning on running a marathon next year in my gap year, hopefully the Seattle Marathon. But I still have a long way to go, right? And I'm playing soccer a decent amount. I'm lifting, I'm kind of doing a lot, and I'm kind of feeling like I know I'm overtraining right now, to be honest. I can tell. So the point now for me, it's like, okay, back up. I've made great progress. Now just maintain what I have for a little bit, let my body rest up, let it recover, and then start pushing myself again. An exercise program, we talk a lot about kind of doing this. She broke it up, you break it up into cycles, right? A couple weeks here, a couple months here, where you're going pretty hard and you're really pushing yourself to kind of get to that next level. Then after that, just ease off the gas and just maintain what you have. And then time it so that you peak when the marathon happens, right? You peak when you reach playoffs, you peak when you reach nationals, you peak when you have, for Olympic athletes, you peak in the Olympics, right? And that's a 4-year thing. And again, this is all different depending on your goals. This takes a lot of practice to time, right? But the whole maintenance thing, I'm glad you brought that up because that's super important. It's also like, You're adapting on a workout to workout basis. Kyle said that
Yeah.
before. That's true. But also, you don't have to push yourself every single time.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just about preventing injury, maintaining the progress you've already made, and making sure that you can go again tomorrow.
Yeah. And like you said, right? Like it's applicable to a lot of things. It doesn't have to, you don't have to be running a marathon to be able to do this,
No, of
right? Let's
course
say
not.
you're first starting out your fitness journey. You don't want to throw all your eggs in one basket and then boom, get an injury or boom, get over too overstimulated or something like that, and you just don't want to work out anymore,
Yeah, for
right?
sure.
So like even when you're starting out your fitness journey, it's realizing what your body feels good with. Can you push it a little more, or do you have to take it back a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Anything
So
else?
that's all I got.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks for listening to Fit to Teach, where we provide insights into health and wellness for teachers and staff each week. We will see you next Friday for another episode of Fit to Teach. Thank you so much, Edgar, for coming on.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for
Super
having
good
me.
conversation. And yeah, see you guys next week.
Yep.